15 billion years ago, the universe is born.
Welcome to my latest experiment. This is the big one, the one I've been waiting for all my life.
Alive.
God help us from the hands of engineers.
It's alive, and you know those pesky viruses have a tendency to stay alive by passing from person to person. Now, each summer, kids who go to sleepaway camp do crafts, athletics, and short sheet each other's beds. That's, of course, fun. Science Tuesday on The Takeaway. And whether it's a first kiss or taking a bite out of your friend's sandwich, kids swap germs.
I love swapping germs.
Depends on the person. H1N1 has broken out in some summer camps, so is it time for panic or preparation? With us, we've got Dr. Mark Siegel, Associate Professor of Medicine at New York University, and the author of False Alarm, The Truth About the Epidemic of Fear. He joins us in the studio this morning. Peter Kasten has some firsthand experience telling kids how to keep their germs to themselves. That's definitely a word to the wise. He and his wife, Meg, run the Hidden Valley Camp in Freedom, Maine. Welcome to both of you. And Dr. Siegel, you sent your son to Camp Moden this summer. Was there any hesitation, either as a doctor or a father, in sending your kid to camp?
Well, Farai, I've studied the flu for years, and I had a feeling this might happen. I was not hesitating because he loves this camp so much, but they did take the temperature of everyone going on the bus this year going to camp, and I thought, you know, that's an interesting precaution, but you can also harbor the flu for a couple of days and have no symptoms. I thought because of the cool weather up there and the fact, as you and John have both described these camps, they're very close together. They're kind of like nursing homes, the way everyone's on top of each other and exchanging viruses and bacteria. I thought that it could very well have a flu outbreak this year.
Well, let's just get very specific. You've said that your son was running a fever. What did it turn out to be?
Well, no, he wasn't running a fever. The camp was checking everyone that got on the bus for a fever. They found no fevers, but what happened was, believe it or not, a physician smuggled a kid onto the bus knowing full well that the kid was sick without giving Tylenol to the kid to suppress the fever so the kid wouldn't lose the summer at camp. That was such an irresponsible act, and it ended up causing the outbreak, most likely caused the outbreak up at Moden.
Did the guy want to get rid of his kid, or did he have a grant from the NIH to study swine flu in summer camps?
I think he must. He has to re-examine his Hippocratic Oath, but luckily for him, this wasn't a patient of his, otherwise I might be going after him.
So your son's camp experienced 16 cases. Your son himself was protected. Is that just random, given what you know about epidemiology, or had you taught your son some things that might have protected him?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I think my son is actually fairly good with hygiene, but no kid around 12 years old is good enough. I think the real answer to that, Farai, is that the flu tends to spread to about 1 out of 4 people who are contacted. In other words, if you're sick, the chances of someone else near you getting it are about 1 out of 4. That may be more at camps, though, because, again, these bunks are right on top of each other, and kids don't really wash their hands properly, and they do sneeze and cough on each other.
All right. Well, we've also got Peter Kasten with us. He is director of the Hidden Valley Camp in Freedom, Maine. Of course, we were just talking to Dr. Mark Siegel, talking to us about his experience with his kids' camp. And this is Science Tuesday. So, Peter, who better than you to lead us through, the science experiment of camp? As a director of a camp in Freedom, Maine, how do you parse this issue and what you need to do to protect your students?
Well, I think we've had a good combination of luck and vigilance, and so far we've had no cases of the H1N1. There's certainly some measures we've taken this time around that we wouldn't have taken last year. A lot more hand washing, a lot more conversation with individuals and with groups and with the entire camp. Much more rigorous procedures, both in the health lodge and the dining hall. Fewer trips out of camp, a lot more regulation of people coming into camp. We got lucky at first, so we're in a way a little bit of an island, and we're trying to keep it that way.
And so when you think about this panic, pandemic, poo-poo?
Camp, there's a lot of poo-poo.
Not the kind I was talking about.
I think you can never be too careful, but if you panic, you get yourself in trouble.
Peter, do you work hand washing into like the camp games and stuff? And like, can you get a medal for having the cleanest hands on camp? That sort of.
That's a good idea. It's more just some rigorous procedures before meals, a lot more wiping of handles, faucets, et cetera, in the cabins. I've got extra people putting in extra time doing this, and we've got the campers involved as well.
All right. One last question for you, Doctor, before I let you go. Will you be sending your son back to the same camp?
Well, yeah, the answer is that I actually put in a policy this year where I got the camp to use Tamiflu, which is an antiviral drug, once the outbreak occurred, because the CDC in Maine has a policy. The national CDC doesn't use antiviral drugs routinely when outbreaks occur because they feel just isolate the kids.
Right.
And isolation actually doesn't work as well as the antiviral drugs do, which have about an 80-90% success rate. So because we were able to use these drugs, we were able to help contain it. So, yes, I would send him back there next year, provided they continue to do the same great science.
Okay. Dr. Mark Siegel, Associate Professor of Medicine at New York University, and has written a book on the bird flu and another called False Alarm. Also, Peter Kassin, director of Hidden Valley Camp in Freedom, Maine. Now we have Femi Okeh with the headlines.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much for 28 minutes past the hour.